Music schools like Juilliard, Eastman, Curtis, and Peabody are conservatories, and the term conservatory comes from Naples, Italy, where conservatories became institutions that conserved orphans and educated them in music skills. Turning these abandoned or orphaned kids into music apprentices was a cheap way to bring income into the orphanage. They were taught to play organ in the churches, sing in the choir, play in orchestras, and to assist the maestro di coro with composition and score copying. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're looking at the history of composition and musical training. In Venice, you can walk past the orphanage and church where Vivaldi lived and taught for most of his career. The church still has daily performances of Vivaldi's Four Seasons, and you can attend the concert for 30 euros. If you walk behind the church along the alley, there are buildings behind a wall of cement or plaster. The complex was a walled conservatory with multiple buildings and outdoor areas. There's a doorstep in the alley with a doorbell. Back in the 18th century, people would leave their daughters on the doorstep and ring the bell. And maybe they wouldn't wait for the door to be answered. They just abandoned the child on the steps. This is the Ospedale Pietà, Hospital of Divine Mercy, meaning orphanage, and more simply referred to as Pietà. During Vivaldi's appointment, he had to teach the girls both music theory and how to play their instruments. He also composed most of his major works while working at Pietà. He composed the famous Four Seasons and a lot of other concerti, as well as over 60 sacred works like cantatas, oratorios, motets, and large-scale choral works with orchestra. Venice, Naples, and other Italian cities were once crawling with abandoned children, and the churches and governments created a system to house and educate them. They would train them in a range of practical trades, including music. In Venice, the girls went to the Ospedale Pietà, and the boys went to an orphanage for boys. The girls were taught music. The boys weren't taught music, but some other practical trade like goldsmith or cabinet making. So the girls were taught to play instruments like violin, viola, cello, and bass, and they became part of the church's orchestra, performing a lot of Vivaldi's works. Instrumentalists could be rented out to other performances in Venice, and maybe other churches needed an orchestra for holy days and feasts. Vivaldi's orchestra became known for its exceptional players and performances, and their reputation grew in Venice and abroad. But in Naples, where the music apprenticeship was perfected, the syllabus in Naples conservatories included a lot of compositional skills. And not just so these kids could become composers, but they were taught the skills that were useful while they were studying at the conservatory. Much like painters and sculptors who had several, and maybe more, apprentices that would draw the torsos and backgrounds in paintings, until the master would swoop in and paint the faces, the hands, and the feet, composers did pretty much the same thing with their apprentices. A church organist could have a sketch of a piece and then have the minions fill in the details, then give it back to the master for the finishing touches. Copying multiple string parts was certainly done by the students. And like in Venice, instrumentalists played in the orchestras around the city and brought income back to the conservatories. The Paris Conservatory would adopt the Naples Conservatory template wholesale. And even Nadia Boulanger continued the teachings found in the Naples tradition to her composition students. So there are many composers alive today that were brought up in this Naples tradition. All of these composition students, they learned to compose by a specific system, one that piece by piece hardwired all the rules of composition. The practical purpose was that very young musicians learned skills that could help the master crank out oratorios and cantatas each week while developing overall musicianship. The children learned solfege, tablatura, partimenti, regole, and those were the rules, along with keyboard and instrumental instruction. Nowadays in conservatory, we learn solfege, keyboard skills, and music theory, including harmonization. Similar, but the old ways ran deeper. In later centuries, when conservatories turned into secondary schools or colleges, German scholars invented shortened syllabi to teach the basics that were in the earlier schools taught over 15 or 20 years. Beginning as early as age 7, the music students in Naples were given very basic little phrases or partimenti to learn to compose on top of, or maybe to learn to improvise. These could be a melody or a fugue subject. They could also be a bass line or a ground, similar to the cello line in Pachelbel's famed but overused canon. Partimenti were small themes or exercises intended to teach the rules of composition. This was possibly the keystone to the composition regimen taught in these early conservatories, a skill all but nearly lost today. The partimenti, or these little phrases, were given to the children and they practiced improvising on them. In turn, they learned to write partimenti and eventually, after a decade, actual composition. A few composers that were taught in this tradition were Scarlatti, Verdi, Donizetti, and Rossini. These composers were prolific, even if a lot of their music sounded the same. That's the key. Their training allowed them to tear off compositions quickly and in great volume. Many of these composers wrote so much music, it's been said, an individual would be hard-pressed to copy it in a lifetime, let alone compose it. But that's the background of the partimenti. It's improvisation and composing in one. Imagine doing these exercises for 10 or 15 years. A 7 or maybe a 10-year-old child beginning music study in the conservatory system stayed until he or she was maybe 24. And when fully formed, they know all the rules, they have all the skills and all the tools. We see this in composers like Bach, Handel, and Mozart, all who had these traditional composing chops from apprenticing or studying from a very early age. Today, we've retained the study of solfège in music conservatories, at least to some degree. And a few conservatories like Eastman, at least at the very academic level of Baroque studies, have rekindled the use of partimenti. In 2012, Robert Jerdegen wrote Music in the Gallant Style. And as a result, interest around partimenti is being revived. Composers and musicians are rediscovering the partimenti tradition, its importance in history, and its value in nurturing creativity and artistry. The subject of tablatura was very important as well in Naples. Organ tablature was taught from a young age. Tablature today we think of as music notation for guitar. There's no staff, key signature, or note heads. And the same was true for the organ tablature. Pitches were just letter names and stems with flags. An octave was notated with lines above the notes or letter names. Sharps were sometimes notated with an extra loop at the end of the letter. B flat was notated as B, and B natural was H. Thus, Bach's BACH signature theme was originated in the organ tablature. So the keyboard skills, along with tablature, were the most practical skills in old Naples. And since there were over 3,000 churches, the default job was a church organist. Young orphans were rented out weekly, or maybe there was just an agreement with the churches, because the church was the main supporter of these conservatories. So the very young organist could read the manuscripts, or maybe write them for the church's weekly masses. It was an important part of the economy. The whole system of welfare and support was tied to the church. And then the regole, they were rules, and maybe today it's rolled into harmony class. The rule of resolving a fourth, the rule of descending octaves, these could be turned into keyboard exercises. And eventually, it's the way all the music sounds coming out of that period. So the conservatory model was adopted all over Europe. And when you hear that famous composers like Ravel and Debussy entered the Paris Conservatory at age 10 or 11, this doesn't mean that they were exceptional at age 10. That was the normal age to start attendance. The Paris Conservatory adopted most of the syllabus from Naples, and Ravel and Debussy certainly learned solfège, improvisation, harmonization, regole, and partimenti. One of the best uses of apprentices was copying parts and manuscripts. If an organist needed an orchestra, a young lad was put to work writing out parts. J.S. Bach learned this way. He was apprenticed to his older brother, and he copied lots of music. And legend says he copied late at night the scores his brother kept locked away from him. He would say that the young Johann wasn't allowed yet to copy these scores. And this may have led to his blindness later in life. But nonetheless, this copying for years and years developed into his style that in early years resembled his brother's. When Johann aged and matured, he then moved into his own identity and his own style. This was pretty much the path for most composers of the Baroque and classical period. Handel, Mozart, Beethoven, Scarlatti, Verdi, they all learned their trade as apprentices, starting at a very early age. Copying parts, studying partimenti, and learning improvisation. The studies might not have been called partimenti in Germany, just harmony exercises, but the strategy was the same. Learning to compose in little pieces, and over time, the pieces were ingrained into the master composer. Nowadays, if you study composition, you hopefully get to study with another great composer who passes down the tools of the trade. Samuel Adler remembers Hindemith made him copy his own writing style. It sort of worked. Eventually, Adler learned from Hindemith's style and then went on to make his own mark. He felt it was useful for the most part, the same way the composers at the conservatories did a lot of copying parts. And they eventually absorbed the styles and techniques, as well as all the rules and how they're employed. Another of his teachers was Aaron Copland. And Copland made Adler learn by rewriting parts of his composition that he suggested were weak, rather than inserting the corrections the way Hindemith did. He said he appreciated Copland the most of all of his teachers, and it sounds like Copland was very attentive. Other teachers didn't get such a good review. Walter Piston caused Adler to doubt himself and slowed his progress. He said Piston taught by sarcasm. Also, Piston didn't seem to be aware of the effect of his sarcasm. In an interview with John Brantingham, Adler made a few suggestions to young composers. He says you should study an instrument, hopefully from a very young age. Then begin formal composition study at a young age too, with a teacher. He says he doesn't like computers for writing. He says it's too tempting to cut and paste. He points out that Philip Glass, Steve Reich, and John Adams didn't use a computer, and their music is very repetitive. He says he needs to see it in his own hand. That was key. And finally, he says you need to study and read scores voraciously. Never stop looking at scores. Study music from the oldest to the newest, especially the earliest music of medieval and Renaissance periods, because our roots are there. He says that today it's easier to get your music played than ever. And hearing music from anywhere in the world is something we maybe take for granted. Composers have to work hard to stay up to date. Maybe that's a good problem, as they say. Playing as many styles as possible and understanding the harmony or the building blocks of the music maybe is something we stop doing as much after the years of playing as professional musicians. We studied it back in conservatory. Maybe this podcast will inspire you to revisit those books from college. Grout's History, Burkhardt's Anthology, Piston's Harmony, Hindemith's Ear Training, and Samuel Adler's Orchestration. Are they on your shelf? And we can listen to live performances of early music, contemporary music, and everything in between right here in our fair city. Consider going to a concert outside your regular cycle or maybe even outside your comfort zone. Have you been to a live performance of something new or old in a while? So maybe this week, you stretch your cultural intake and remember to support the musicians in the community. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.